the Antiwhite system and tune in to the Pro-White system at RadioArian.com.
And welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Friday, the 12th of April, 2019, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, broadcasting at RadioArian.com. Once again, it's Friday. We've got to the end of another week, and that means we must have Grandpa Lampshade with us today. Grandpa, how are you doing today?
Doing all right. It's always great to see the Friday edition of Longshanks and Lampshade Daily Nationalist. Always a lot of fun.
It means it's the end of the working week, doesn't it? It means it's the end of the working week. It means we've got Truthful Out Radio later on, and then it's the weekend when everybody else gets a break, and I'm preparing all the podcasts for next week. But we have an extra special podcast for you today. We've actually got two news stories for today, and the first one is a little bit of good news, and this follows on from the story we were discussing last week. The kidnapped white woman in Africa has been rescued after the ransom was paid, that is. An American who was kidnapped along with her guide in Uganda last week has been recovered unharmed. The pair were recovered along the border with the neighbouring Democratic Republic of Congo and were expected to fly out on Monday morning, CBS News has learned. Kimberly Sue Endicott, 56, and field guide Jean-Paul Murenji Remizo were taken hostage at gunpoint while on safari in Uganda's Queen Elizabeth National Park last Tuesday. Their four kidnappers had demanded a $500,000 ransom, and at least some of that amount was paid to secure their release, sources confirmed to CBS News. The abductors used Endicott's phone to negotiate her release and were in contact with authorities nearly every day since her capture, officials said. Shame they didn't actually just use that phone to find out where she was, isn't it, really? The Uganda police force said the pair were rescued during a joint operation and were in good health. A spokesman for the Ugandan government said Ugandan security forces were involved in the operation to rescue them. The two were brought back to the lodge where she had been staying, but left there on Monday morning by helicopter headed for the capital city of Kampala. She was accompanied on the helicopter by US embassy officials after being debriefed. It wasn't clear when she would fly out of Uganda. The kidnappers managed to escape after the rescue, and Ugandan forces were still searching for them. CBS News was told money was paid to secure the pair's release, though it was significantly less than what was at first demanded. Some are questioning whether paying the ransom put a price on other Americans who are travelling abroad. We have seen where the lapses are. We will ensure that those are closed, Sam Muudanga, executive director of Uganda Wildlife Authority, told CBS News. We can assure everybody who comes to visit that Uganda is safe, our parks are safe, and they can continue coming. Obviously, that's all he's really concerned about, is getting more American tourists there. But it seems to me that exactly what we said last week, that both the government and the police are also involved in these kidnappings. I think this news report confirms that. Why weren't the kidnappers arrested? How could the kidnappers just get away like that? Why wasn't the woman's phone pinpointed with GPS if she had a mobile phone and if it was working? I think this is just proof of the corruption that they have over there. But obviously, I'm very, very pleased that she's been rescued. Well, actually, not really rescued, but the ransom was paid, so she's back safe and sound. Grandpa, what do you think of this? It's basically just proving what we said last week, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And you'd have to be out of your mind to go to these places. I mean, it'd be great. I'd love to go and see the wildlife too. But that's one of the good things in Africa is the wildlife and stuff like that. But their assurances aside, don't worry, you are safe in Uganda. Well, obviously you're not. I mean, let's be real here. And no, you'd be out of your mind to go there. And yeah, it's great news that she's released. We're not going to be told what probably happened to her while she was being held by these people, because we kind of know how that goes. I mean, let's just lay it on the table. I mean, rape is pretty much what these people do. So, it's a pretty fair guess that the ransom was paid in more ways than one. But she learned a hard lesson. She got out with her life, and that's good news. And the lesson that anybody else should take away is that you're not going to go to these places. It's not your home country. It's not the West. It's a whole different world, and you are literally putting your life on the line, you know, if you decide to go to one of these places.
Well, she's been freed and somebody else has been arrested. Julian Assange has been arrested over here in Britain. And he is now facing up to 12 months in a British prison after he was found guilty of skipping bail to avoid being extradited to Sweden in 2012 to face allegations of rape and sexual assault. And just before we really get into this news story here, they bring up this allegation of rape and sexual assault in Sweden. I believe that was because he had sex with a woman in the middle of the night when she was half asleep. She had actually consented to sex with him, and then he woke up in the middle of the night and had sex with her again and didn't use a condom. And according to Swedish law, that means it's rape. I mean, it's just unbelievable, these rape laws that they have over there in Sweden, which, of course, bumps up the actual rape figures alongside all this massive influx of the third world, which have also increased the rape figures over there. Grandpa, do you want to say anything about this story before we get into it? What are your initial thoughts on Julian Assange being arrested?
Well, I believe, and we'll get into it, like you say, as we go along here, but I don't believe he will spend minimal, if no time, in any sort of British prison. They're going to hold him long enough to extradite him to the United States. That's what this is about. We know that that's what this is about.
Well, the WikiLeaks founder finally appeared in court yesterday after he was sensationally expelled from the Ecuadorian embassy in London, where he has been claiming political refuge for the past 7 years. A judge branded Assange's defense laughable and his behavior that of a narcissist who cannot get beyond his own selfish interests after he pleaded not guilty to breaching his bail conditions, claiming that he did so because he could never expect a fair trial in the UK. Now, I can very much sympathise with him there, not expecting to get a fair trial in the UK. And I don't really see how the judge can say that it was selfish of him to try and avoid going to America for the death sentence. That's what he was expecting, because he was expecting to be charged with taking state secrets, stealing state secrets, which, you know, I mean, you can get a death sentence for that. That was the fear. And they've changed that now to something else that we'll get into in a bit. I mean, what do you think of this judge's response to him, Grandpa?
Well, he's sitting there saying his reasoning is that he doesn't believe he could expect a fair trial in the UK. So, you know, things happen. They drag him out of the embassy. They bring him before the judge, and the judge starts right off by insulting him and calling him names. I mean, I think it kind of proves his point, doesn't it? I mean, how is he going to get a fair hearing before this judge who's already dismissing his defense as laughable? Does this sound anything remotely like you're going to get a fair hearing? Imagine you go to court. You go before the judge, and right off the bat, he starts calling you a narcissist, selfish, and that your defense is laughable. That doesn't exactly yell out, you know, scream fair trial to me.
Yeah, that's a really good point there. Ecuador's decision to revoke his political asylum yesterday morning saw a diplomatic falling of dominoes, with 7 British police officers entering the embassy at 10 a.m. before restraining him as he tried to flee to his private room. They then dragged the fugitive away, kicking and screaming, into a van as he shouted, "This is unlawful and the UK must resist." In a dramatic turn of events, he was then also charged by US government prosecutors with conspiring with American whistleblower Chelsea Manning to break the password of a classified government computer in 2010. And it's all really pretty predictable because they did. I remember them saying a couple of weeks back that this was going to be happening within the next month. This is what Ecuador said. They said that they were going to revoke his citizenship and he would be arrested within the next month. So it was predictable. And it does seem unlawful because he's an Australian citizen. And what right does America have to take him away, to demand him from Britain to be handed over to America for something which would be illegal in America? I mean, this sets a very dangerous precedent. And I must say, actually, I'm very pleased to say that Jeremy Corbyn has actually resisted this. And he has said that the British government must not allow him to be extradited to America. And I must say, all credit must go to Jeremy Corbyn for saying that. What do you think about this, Grandpa, then dragging him away out of the room like that, the way that they did?
That's what client states do. I mean, this is all being done at the behest of the United States. I don't think Britain has a gripe with the guy, let's be honest. And when you're a client state, though, and the head state that you serve says, "We want this guy," I mean, you go ahead and you do it. And it's just very telling. You say the guy's an Australian citizen. He's in Britain, but it doesn't matter. The United States has been dead set to get this guy for years now, and they're going to get him.
Do you know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of Ernst Zundel. And Ernst Zundel exposed the lies that were being told about World War II and the lies about the gas chambers. And he published this in Canada. And he was a Canadian citizen. And he was on holiday in America with his wife. And the intelligence services of America kidnapped him. They stuck him in a jail cell for 2 years. And then they extradited him to Germany, so that he could then face trial in Germany for something that he had published in Canada that the Germans didn't like. And nobody else stood up for him but the nationalists. And now that precedent has been used to do the same thing again to Julian Assange. And I do wonder if the people speaking up for Assange will draw an equivalence with what happened to Ernst Zundel, or whether it will just be us nationalists that do that. Well, apparently Assange participated in the hacking in real time and encouraged the act, which led to one of the largest leaks of classified information in US history, according to the statement. So they're not actually, this is America here, they're not actually going to be charging him with espionage or actually leaking all that information. What they're going to try and do him for is helping out with trying to work out what the password is. And the reason for that is so that when he's actually in court over there in America, he won't be allowed to bring up the reasons why he published the leaks that he did. Because obviously if a jury hears that, they're going to say, well, you know, there was good reason for you to be doing that. It was in the public interest. And this is the reason why they haven't charged him with that, is so that all the jury will hear is this guy helped break into classified files. I mean, what do you think about this charges that they've hit him with, Grandpa?
Well, the way it works here in America, because the UK has already said they've agreed, and this was part of their agreement, and they all know this is how this is going to play out, by the way. It's all just a theater. But there's agreement. The UK says they won't extradite him. They agreed with Ecuador. They won't extradite him if he's going to be facing charges that involve the death penalty. So they're throwing down these charges. But everybody is familiar with how prosecution works in the United States. They stack charges. So, yeah, they're throwing this down right now. They're throwing this charge at him right now because it's not something that they could bring, you know, like a death penalty type sentence. And so, yeah, but once they get him here, trust me, there's going to be more charges. Once they get him here, then they're going to unseal all sorts. I guarantee they're going to unseal all sorts of indictments, and you're going to have a list of charges as long as my leg. And even if they don't charge him with something that they can sentence him to death with, because what if they do? What if they get him here and then say, okay, well, we're going to charge him with this and go for the death penalty? I mean, what? Is Ecuador going to do something about it? Was the UK going to protest? No. there won't be a peep about it there. But even if they don't do that, they'll stack enough charges to where basically they can throw him in a prison and he'll never see the light of day for the rest of his life.
Yeah, I believe there was mention of a secret indictment as well a while back. Well, the Department of Justice in America has confirmed that he has been charged with computer crimes, which, if he is found guilty of, could result in a 5-year jail term. Obviously, that could be increased. And addressing Assange at the court hearing, District Judge Michael Snow told him to get over to the US and get on with your life. And, I mean, I do have to say that he does need to get on with his life, and this did need to happen at one instance. It would have been better if it happened at his, you know, with the timing that Julian Assange wanted, rather than with the timing that Ecuador, America, and Britain wanted. But I do think that he does need to get on with his life. He couldn't just stay there in the Ecuadorian embassy for the rest of his life. So I do sympathize with that, and I do think that is correct. At least now he can get on with this. It can progress, and he can get on to the next stage of whatever is, you know, whatever is his destiny is, to be honest. What do you think of this bit here, telling him to get on with his life and get over to the US, Grandpa?
Yeah, get on with handing his life over to the U.S. I know the U.S. Department of Justice is an oxymoron if I've ever heard one. But, you know, I mean, yeah, you're right. I mean, at some point, you can't live in their embassy forever. That was, you know, I can't believe he's been there this long. He's essentially been in jail. If you think about it, he's been under house arrest now for however many years that he's been holed up in the embassy. So, I mean, yeah, get on with your life. You know, get on to letting us wreck your life. This is going to be very interesting to watch play out, because I guarantee you, like I just said a while ago, there's going to be more charges coming. It's going to be, they're saying right here, oh, 5-year jail term. Yeah, well, that doesn't sound so bad. Trust me, they've got more coming down the pike for this guy.
And if it was real justice here, I mean, they would say that the 7 years that he spent in the embassy was time served, basically. So that 5 years that America is saying that, you know, he could get, it really, that should be nullified by the fact that he's been under house arrest for the last 7 years. Well, while he awaits sentencing for jumping bail, Assange, 47, oh, he looks a lot older than 47, doesn't he? He looks about 57, maybe in his 60s, looking at him being pulled out from the embassy there. But they say here he's 47. He also faces a court hearing on May the 2nd relating to his possible extradition to the US to contest the hacking charges. His lawyer, Jennifer Robinson, said he will fight extradition, adding that he thanked supporters and said, "I told you so," when she visited him in his police cell. Ecuadorian President Lenin Moreno dramatically withdrew Assange's asylum status yesterday morning, blaming his discourteous and aggressive behavior in continuing to work with WikiLeaks while housed at the embassy. In a scathing statement, President Moreno accused Assange of violating the terms of his asylum by interfering in internal affairs of other states, as well as blocking security cameras and mistreating guards. Its interior minister even alleged that he had smeared feces on the embassy's walls. Yeah, last bit there, I'm thinking, well, maybe that was his cat. Maybe his cat missed the cat litter tray a few times. But otherwise, that's just got to be some kind of an exaggeration to smear him. I mean, this guy, this Lenin Moreno, he's just been elected as president over there in Ecuador. And the previous president was anti-globalism, anti the New World Order, and anti-America. And this new president wants to be, I mean, he said he wants to get really close to America. So he's just become this American puppet, really. Ecuador has become a client state over there. And this interfering in internal affairs of other states, that he must have meant exposing Hillary Clinton there. I mean, as far as exposing America's bad behavior in the war against terror, that was in the public interest, and all the left were cheering him on when he did that. And then as soon as he exposed Hillary, it was like the mainstream media really turned against him. It's like, you know, he's only allowed to expose the right wing or the Republicans or the warmongers. He's not allowed to expose the left wing. He's not allowed to expose the Democrats. I mean, what do you think? I mean, this is real hypocrisy, isn't it? Interfering in internal affairs of other states, I think, Grandpa.
Well, and yeah, and this is as good a point as any to really point out that this isn't even when we're talking voicing our concerns in here. So this isn't even necessarily about like Assange himself, the person. I mean, I'm looking at the guys. I mean, he may be kind of half nuts. I'm not sure he's completely there. But here's the thing, because, you know, I was talking about this on social media the other day, and folks were pointing out that WikiLeaks, I believe, had doxed one of the British nationalist organizations over there. And they were like, hey, you know, this guy, you know, basically screw him, you know. But here's the thing, as you just said, when WikiLeaks was exposing things in Iraq under the Bush administration, I mean, this guy was a hero of the left. They loved this guy. And when he started doing this at the Hillary emails and also exposing the same sorts of behavior, the exact same sort of war crimes, basically, under the Obama administration, then all of a sudden, this guy's public enemy number one, just like that. It's sort of like when Bush was president, Cindy Sheehan, the anti-war protester, you know, she was a hero. But when Obama got in office, she continued her anti-war protests, and all of a sudden, she went to, you know, like a non-existent, invisible person. And I think the important thing for everyone to grasp here is that it's not even necessarily about Assange. The point here is that if they will do this, if they can get away with doing this, and they will, they'll probably get away with this, to somebody that's got this sort of name recognition, this sort of almost celebrity status, I mean, what happens when they come after you? What happens when they come after just somebody with a YouTube channel who are exposing these same sort of behaviors, these same sort of things, this corruption that's in all of our governments? They can do it to Julian Assange. I mean, it's not like we don't see this step-by-step pattern that they use. If they can drag this guy out and stack up a bunch of charges, ship him wherever the United States wants him shipped, and ultimately convict him, then what chance does a podcaster have? What chance does somebody with a YouTube channel have? Zero, zilch. And that's what's so alarming. And that's what's so important, I think, about really highlighting, you know, what's going on here.
Yeah, especially, I mean, he's not even American. I mean, you could say if he was an American citizen, well, they've got a right to try an American citizen. But what right do they have to demand an Australian citizen to be handed over by Britain? And you're right, Grandpa. You know, it is a threat to all citizen journalists. Well, the arrest came just 24 hours after WikiLeaks had accused Ecuador of an extensive spying operation, adding that it assumed intelligence had been handed over to the Trump administration. And this is because Ecuador is now working closely with America, and also Venezuela is tied up in this. Mr. Trump, who had declared, "I love WikiLeaks," during his 2016 campaign, when the website released damaging emails concerning Hillary Clinton, said following Assange's arrest that, "I know nothing really about him or WikiLeaks." I mean, that's just unbelievable. Right through the campaign, he was cheering WikiLeaks on. He was saying how great they are. And now today, he's just totally distancing himself from Julian Assange. I am so disappointed in Trump. And this is just really, you know, it's offensive to see the way that he's just, you know, stabbing him in the back after the WikiLeaks, the leaks of Hillary's emails really helped Donald Trump. I mean, I think this is going to harm the president actually turning his back on him like this. What's the news been saying about it over there, about Donald Trump's response to this, Grandpa? Do you know?
They haven't really. They played the same clip that you just mentioned here. But again, it comes back down to action. Somebody pointed out the other day, with all of his talk, you know, the most high profile person that America has deported so far was what, a 90-year-old German former camp guard to face trial for somehow being a part of the Holocaust. You know, all of his talk about, you know, we're going to ship all of these people out, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. And so far, the most high profile deportation he's actually done is this 90-year-old man who I believe wound up dying afterwards. They deported him to face war crime trials for the Holocaust. So I think that tells us quite a bit right there.
I mean, he should really be pardoning him. He should be stepping in there and saying, look, we should be pardoning this guy. It's obviously in the public interest to know that America was spying on its citizens. It was spying on Germany, spying on its allies. It's in the public interest to know about the war crimes that went on in Iraq. It's in the public interest to know about the scams that the Democrats were pulling and that Hillary Clinton was pulling during the election campaign. You would think that he would just give him a royal presidential pardon, but oh no, he wants to be seen as part of the New World Order, doesn't he now? Well, the decision to expel Assange followed months of gradually souring relations between the Ecuadorian government and its unwelcome guest. President Moreno, who entered the office in 2017, was personally targeted by WikiLeaks in February when a set of documents were leaked that allegedly linked the president and family members to financial corruption and money laundering. WikiLeaks has previously called Moreno's pursuit of Assange a diversion tactic aimed at pointing attention away from the scandal and scoring political points with the US, with whom he is believed to want to improve relations. The revival of US-Ecuadorian diplomacy, led by Moreno, saw the International Monetary Fund in Washington approve a $4.2 billion payment to the Ecuadorian government in March, a month to the day that Assange was arrested and charged. A bit of a strange coincidence there, isn't it, Grandpa? $4.2 billion payment from the IMF to Ecuador, and then a month later, Assange gets handed over to the police. That's got to be a bribe there, isn't it?
Well, yeah, and it costs quite a bit more than the woman in Uganda at the beginning of the show, didn't it? I mean, they said they paid less than the $500,000, but apparently we know the cost now to get Assange. $4.2 billion. That's a lot of coin. I don't care who you are.
Well, he's definitely getting in there with America. And I say, I think Ecuador is going to be used against Venezuela as well. That's what Dr. Johnson was saying yesterday. Well, the Ecuadorian ambassador to the UK, Jamie Marchan, said that in the time Assange remained in the embassy, he had been disrespectful, continually a problem, and interfered in elections, politics, and the internal affairs of other countries. Mr. Marchan said he was continually a problem to us. He was very disrespectful to the authorities. He has said that we were spying on him. He has said we were lying and that we were agents of the United States. And that last bit, he accused them of being agents of the United States. And here they are handing Assange over to the United States. I mean, the guy obviously doesn't realize the hypocrisy in what he is saying. This interfering in elections. I mean, what does America do? And he's constantly interfering in elections, interfering over there in Syria, interfering over there in Venezuela, and usually by offering bribes, like this IMF have just done, offered a bribe. It's constant hypocrisy here that we see from the West. I mean, what do you think of this bit here that he made accusations that they were agents of the United States, Grandpa?
Just as you pointed out, I mean, it's obviously true. They didn't do it for free. They got $4.2 billion out of it. I mean, there are not a lot of people that isn't going to hand somebody over for $4.2 billion. But yeah, it's just, this is the way the game's played. And like you say, as far as the interfering in elections things, we've seen this over and over again. We see it now with, I mean, maybe I'm stretching, maybe I'm not, but look at Brexit. You know, okay, we're going to have our elections or our values. So they hold an election, everybody votes for Brexit. Where is it? We're still waiting because they're stalling now. They're trying to get the result they want. Elections are great as long as they get the result that they want. But when they don't, then they find a way out of it. They try to deem the government or the result of the election, whatever the case may be, as illegitimate. And they try to overturn it until they get what they want. We've seen it over and over and over again. We saw it in Ukraine. The president gets elected. Well, the U.S. government doesn't like that outcome, so they sponsor a coup to overthrow the government and put in this other government that's friendly to them. That just so happened, by the way, to be virtually completely run by Jews, but that's a pure coincidence. You're not supposed to notice that either. And the whole sham, it's just the whole thing is a sham. It's hypocrisy, as you say, but it really gets to the bottom. It really drives the point home. That all of this talk about democracy and voting and our values and all this other nonsense, it's all a con. It's a con game.
I do like the way that one bit here, he says that, oh, he accused them of spying on him. And then a sentence or so before that, they're accusing him of interfering with the cameras that were spying on him. They can't have it both ways. Either it's wrong that they were spying on him, or he was interfering with the cameras that were spying on him. Well, news of his arrest was praised by Home Secretary Sajid Javid, who said no one was above the law, while Foreign Secretary Jeremy Hunt added Assange was no hero and claimed he had hidden from the truth for years. Yes, no, nobody's above the law unless you're black, homosexual or Jewish, in which case then you can't be criticised. So we do have people that are above the law over here in Britain. US authorities claim Assange helped former US military analyst Chelsea Manning crack a password to gain entry to secure a computer network and download material to share with WikiLeaks. It is alleged that Manning and Assange had real-time discussions on how to share the classified records, with Assange actively encouraging Manning to provide more. During an exchange, Manning allegedly told Assange that, after this upload, that's all I really have got left, to which Assange replied, curious eyes never run dry, in my experience. The statement added, Assange is charged with conspiracy to commit computer intrusion and is presumed innocent, unless and until proven guilty beyond a reasonable doubt. Well, I mean, that really doesn't seem like much evidence to me that he was trying to secure even more. I mean, just saying curious eyes never run dry, in my experience. Assange has always feared extradition to the US, where his lawyers have claimed he could face the death penalty for the leaking of highly classified documents. However, the UK government has insisted it would not extradite Assange if there was a risk of him being executed. The Ecuadorian government said it had asked Britain for this guarantee. Well, it's not up to Britain to make that guarantee, is it? Do you think that he could end up with, he could end up being executed over this, Grandpa?
Absolutely. As I said before, this is just, they're just throwing this charge down. This is a, you know, they're not going, they're not paying $4.2 billion and going through all of this trouble to try to convict the guy for a crime that can carry a 5-year sentence. Really, that's, we know that. It's common sense. I'm not a lawyer, but I'm not a legal expert. But common sense tells you, you don't spend $4.2 billion and go through these years of pressure and diplomatic pressure and all of this to get a guy so you can charge him and put him in jail for 5 years. It's not going to happen. They're going to get him here. And once they're here, those guarantees mean nothing. Once they get him here, they're going to stack charges on him. And again, maybe they will. Maybe they won't charge him with the death penalty. But they can stack enough charges where he'll basically be in a dark prison cell for the rest of his life, where who knows what will happen to him.
Well, we've got two comments from his lawyers here. Spanish lawyer Baltazar Garzon, who is coordinating Assange's defense, claimed yesterday that he was the target of political persecution. There is evident political persecution, which started precisely with the massive publication by WikiLeaks in 2010 of cables and very serious information which Assange had published, including a trove of classified Pentagon documents detailing alleged US war crimes in Afghanistan and Iraq, he said. The threats against Julian Assange for political reasons, persecution on the part of the United States, are more current than ever. And we also have one from Jennifer Robinson, who is also representing Assange. She said, this sets a dangerous precedent for all media organizations and journalists in Europe and elsewhere around the world. This precedent means that any journalist can be extradited for prosecution in the United States for having published truthful information about the United States. And I would say it's not just the United States that can demand this. I mean, as I mentioned earlier, Germany demanded this of Ernst Zundel. They demanded that Ernst Zundel be extradited over there for something that wasn't a crime even in Canada. So they're saying this is the first time this has happened, and it's the United States. But it's not just the United States. And as we say, it's also Israel, isn't it? When they call for people that were tea boys at the camps during the war and make them out to be responsible for gassing 6 billion Jews. You know, they demand them and they get them as well. What do you think of these lawyers' responses here, Grandpa?
Well, I disagree with one thing they said. They said this precedent means that any journalist can be extradited. It won't be just any journalist. They're not going to go round up Anderson Cooper. They're not going to go round up the people on MSNBC. They're not going to go round up the people on the BBC. They're going to round up this sets precedent for journalists who actually do journalism. In other words, investigate, uncover the truth, expose the lies and the corruption. In other words, journalists that actually do journalism, which is truth tellers, which again gets back to the point I made earlier, because I really think this is what people need to take away from this, is the threat to journalism isn't to these fake journalists on fake news that sit around and just regurgitate the state line, the approved narratives. Those people aren't in any danger of being targeted. Actual people who are doing it. And this means, again, Assange has his whole network of lawyers. I don't know what sort of resources WikiLeaks has as far as financial resources, but I'm sure they're fairly significant. But what about a guy with the YouTube, was it the Project Vitaris or whatever it's called, that goes and does the hidden camera and exposes these government workers talking about how they subvert the system from within? YouTube journalists, you know, people who are doing shows, podcasts, anybody who is speaking the truth against the narrative lie. These are the people that are in danger of being targeted from this. And again, this goes so far beyond just being Julian Assange, whatever your opinion of this guy is. It's about the fact that they're telling you, if we can do this to him, and he's got a network of WikiLeaks and whatever financial resources they have, you know, the rest of you, you're easy picking. You're low hanging fruit compared to this guy. And it's beyond, it's very, very alarming. And anybody who blows this off as being insignificant is really, really missing the big picture.
Well, hopefully we'll get lots of people supporting him. And let's round off with what the former president had to say, Rafael Correa. He was the former Ecuadorian president when Assange was granted asylum. He has strongly condemned his successor's decision. He tweeted that Lenin Moreno was the greatest traitor in Ecuadorian and Latin American history. And that really shows you the difference that you can get between one political party and another that's just changed with an election there. Well, let's hope that he doesn't get extradited to America. Let's hope that he does get lots of support from all the alternative media. And let's hope he's okay. Grandpa, thank you very much for coming on today. Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. I will be back on Monday with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory. You're